On Tuesday, I was in Seattle for a meeting at D-House, and on my way back, I got off the bus at Seattle Central Community College because I wanted to go across the street to Dick Blick and get some art materials. And as I got off the bus, there was a crowd gathered there. And there was this street preacher there with this huge banner that said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved." And he was a young guy, maybe 30 years old, with this big black beard. And he had a bullhorn, and he was preaching to the crowd, and he was saying, "Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus." And he was laying it on them. If they didn't believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior, they were going to hell, and they were going to burn in hell. And what made it interesting was there was a couple of hecklers there. And the hecklers were kind of running back and forth and arguing with him and throwing insults at him and yelling at him and making fun of him. And there's a crowd that had gathered, there's probably 20 or more people that were sort of watching this spectacle. And you know, when you see something like that, well, when I see something like that, I kind of tighten up inside. Here's this guy who's really laying it on you. And so made me kind of nervous. I went across the street to the art store. Well, that guy, that street preacher, kind of reminded me of the Pharisee in today's parable. Jesus tells this parable to the people. He says, two men went up to the temple one day to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a tax collector. Pharisees, we remember, are the holy people, the righteous people who do everything they can to be righteous before God. They pray, they give tithes, they dress right. And the tax collectors, of course, are despised because they are seen to be traitors to the Jewish people because they're draining off their income in tax collection. Tax collectors often considered corrupt and would cheat you on your taxes. So the Pharisee is standing out in the open in the temple square there where everyone can see him. He's got on his beautiful robes that show how wealthy he is. He's got on his prayer shawl with all the tassels on it that show how much he prays. And he stands out and he makes sort of a little speech to God so that everyone can overhear it. "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, and adulterers," or even like this tax collector. You can just imagine him showing off. He says, "You know, I give a tenth of my income to the temple. I pray every day. I fast." And so he's just making this big spectacle of himself. The tax collector is just the opposite. He's standing over in the corner where no one can see him. He won't even look up to heaven. His head is bowed and he's beating on his breast and he's saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says to the people, he says, "I tell you, it was a tax collector who went down to his home that day justified before God." In other words, forgiven. Well, Jesus' listeners, I'm sure, were surprised because they would have normally expected the Pharisee to be the one who went down to his house justified, because the Pharisee was the holy one, the righteous one, the good person. So Jesus' parable flipped things around and made people think about what it meant to be justified before God. And what Jesus is saying, of course, is it's not what's on the outside that matters. It's not your appearance in the temple that matters. It's what's on the inside. It's what's going on in your heart. That's the point, I think, of the parable. But the real difference, it seems to me, between the Pharisee and the tax collector is that one is self-aware, and one is not. The Pharisee doesn't have enough self-awareness even to recognize that he's a sinner. He doesn't recognize any faults. He's not self-reflective. He's not able to sort of stand outside himself and realize how shrill he sounds and how ugly it is, really. How self-righteous he sounds. And the tax collector, at least, has been self-reflective enough to realize that he's a sinner and in need of forgiveness. So the difference between them is that one is self-aware and the other is not. Personal growth requires some self-awareness. The ability to recognize what's going on inside us. Our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, what's happening in our body. That's required if we're going to grow as people. Some call it the inner observer. Are we able to look into the mirror and see what we really look like? You know, in my mind, I'm 23, I'm athletic, and I got a full head of hair. If I look in the mirror, I see that's not so. So we all need a spiritual mirror also to be able to look in the mirror and say, what am I like really? What do I see? Spiritual growth requires some self-reflection. It's called discernment. It's an honest reflection of our strengths, our weaknesses, our needs, what we, the areas of growth that we have. If we don't do this, then we become like that Pharisee. I mean, one of the real dangers of religion is that it sets us up to be self-righteous. We try so hard to be righteous, you know, to be right with God. But if we're not self-reflective or self-aware, then it's awfully easy to become self-righteous. Our ego becomes inflated. We think that we're better than anyone else, and we ignore our shadow side. You know, all of us have a shadow side. And if we just ignore it or pretend we don't have it, we're just being living in an illusion. I think Jesus tells this parable in the gospel today because he wants people to be aware and recognize how easy it is for religious people to become self-righteous. He wants to make sure that his followers do not become arrogant and judgmental. You know, it's especially a problem for clergy. You know, you get ordained, they give you a special title, you get special clothes, you get special status, and it's so easy to think that you're better than everyone else. But clergy are just human beings like everyone else. No. Sorry to break it to you. Spiritual awareness requires, or spiritual growth requires self-awareness. To be present means to be aware of our body, our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, even our negative feelings. It's important to recognize that, to see ourselves honestly. I'll tell you my reaction to that street preacher. When I saw him, at first I thought, well, who does he think he is to be preaching to me? And then I got a little angry, and as I reflected on that, where's my anger coming from? Well, a little bit is coming from fear. I mean, maybe he's right. maybe I am a sinner, and maybe I am going to go to hell. Maybe I don't believe enough, and maybe he's right. And then underneath all that is even some shame. You know, some voice in the past that says, you're a bad boy. I mean, when you start tracing all the stuff that's going on inside. And then I thought, well, you know, I don't really believe that. I don't believe that God sends people to hell because they don't believe the way this guy does. And so I said, you know, God is a loving God, and I believe that God forgives me and God accepts me. So I'm not gonna buy into his stuff, and I'm not gonna be afraid, and I'm not gonna be angry even at him. I don't have to judge him. I can just be myself and go to the art store and get my art supplies and leave him alone. The most spiritual people, I think, are the most self-aware and the least self-righteous. Henry Nouwen is a spiritual writer, and he tells a story about going to visit Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton is a great Trappist monk who lived in a monastery in Kentucky. And Henry Nouwen was a young guy, and he'd read Seven Story Mountain, Merton's biography, and these other great works that he'd written, and he wanted to go to the master, you know. And he thought, I'm going to go, and I'm going to meet him, and something's going to rub off, you know, something spiritual is going to rub off on me. And so he and a couple of friends went there, and sure enough, Thomas Merton was there, and he came out, and, you know, he was dressed in blue jeans and a work shirt, and he sat on the dock there by the creek with them, and they drank beer, and they just talked about ordinary things. He said he didn't put himself on as any kind of spiritual guru. He was just an ordinary person. He didn't have to show off. He didn't have to pretend to be something he wasn't. The Franciscan monk, Richard Rohr, and priest, says that he prays every day that he'll have one good humiliation to keep him grounded. And then he says, I watch my reaction to that very carefully. I think that's characteristic of someone who's a spiritual person. Well, we come to church on Sunday not so everyone can see us, not because we're better than everyone else or somehow closer to God than everyone else, but because here's one place that we can stand before God and be honest. You know, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. And we can confess our sins, we can be forgiven, we can be fed at the holy table, and when we go home, I hope that we can go down to our house justified and forgiven. Amen.